Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Ellie Gibson, and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast, Greatest Hits, Volume 2. So yeah, just a little taster reel, really, some of our favourite bits from old podcasts over the years. So on this one, we've got Mother Pucker, who I'm sure you know from the Instagrams, Afroza Ali, who's a doctor and also a mum and a Muslim, so she chats about all that. Alice Evans, who talks about cancer. Honestly, again, it's more lols than you might expect. And then to finish off, we've got Dara O'Brien, some Irish bloke, can't remember, is he funny? Don't know. Let's find out.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Guess who we've got today, Ellie?
Is it Mother Pucker?
It bloody well is.
Blimmin' heck.
Yo, yo, yo.
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Anna from Mother Pucker. Okay. Pucker in doctor's surgery. When my kid's saying it, motherfucker. It doesn't go down so well, especially when you go, I'm a blogger. I don't even care what that is. I just need you to get out of my surgery and stop your child from swearing. I'm the founder of Mother Pucker, which is a platform. Is that what we call them?
A platform?
Is it a platform?
Oh, not a shoe.
A vehicle?
I like to call myself a self-sustaining media node these days. But whatever makes you feel
happy. That's a mouthful, Ellie.
But yeah, the birth is coming out the sunroof, this one.
Right.
We've had so many complications. I have, it's exclusive to this podcast, I have two uteruses.
Are you serious?
Oh, I just want to freak you out.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
what?
Totally
like
serious.
A fucking cow. No, wait, that's stomachs.
To me as a bovine creature.
She's like a fucking cow.
I just trusted you with this truth, and I would really like it if you treated it with some respect.
No, mate, it's going on the internet.
Two uteruses.
Really? You've
yes.
got two? How did you even discover that?
Oh, when they did the scan with May, they were just a bit like, you know when they go and get the doctor? We're just going to go get some help.
Yeah, we're going to go get the doctor. Doctor who? Someone who's got four hearts who can explain to you why you're a freak.
Go blue.
Literally people, whoa, I haven't seen that before. Whoa, this chick.
Jerry, you gotta come in here.
Dave. We've got two uteruses. This chick's a freak. Yeah, I've got two. So it's really, and that's why I had so many problems getting knocked up, because biologically, the fetus was attaching to the uterus wall, because there's so many of them.
Oh my God.
And it freaks me out even talking about it. Like, I feel a little bit of vom in my throat, but you know, I did want to give you an exclusive, and I feel like
and I think we've dealt with it very separately.
Very sympathetically.
Yes, screw you, woman's hour. We can nail this. Yeah.
We got one with two uteruses on our podcast. What are you gonna do? Yeah. Try and find a woman with four vaginas and come back to us.
So I just want to let anyone out there know, if you have two uteruses and you're not alone, feel free to sort of get in touch with me.
Is it how common is it?
It's not that common, no.
Right.
It's pretty unique.
Man.
So babies coming through the sunroof.
I think it's cool. You're like a multiplex. You're like...
Ellie's still not feeling better, but you know, very
you can
sensitive.
You can see the mind. Ellie's going, wow!
I'm genuinely excited.
It's like when you feel like someone's got three testicles. It's like...
Who's got three testicles?
That's a thing, apparently.
Has your husband got three testicles?
No, he's not. Barely got...
Yeah.
Anyway.
How would you lose one after you said that thing about the pasta not being very nice?
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Dr. Afroza Ahmed, or otherwise known as Mummy.
Let's have, and we've never done this on the podcast before, let's have a religion chat. You wrote a post on your Facebook, I think it was after the attacks in, the terror attacks in London, was it the London Bridge ones happened? Yeah. And you wrote this post, which I just thought was amazing and really touched me about, you know, how it feels to be a Muslim in this country when this kind of thing is going on. And I mean, I don't want to,
There's this thing, you know, I don't like to be victimised, but there's this thing about Muslims that we have to answer for every single Muslim in this country or abroad that does something in the name of religion. And, you know, you get politicians saying you've got to, you know, make sure, stamp this out in your community. I don't know these people. Mm. They happen to say they're the same religion, you know. And I said, I can't even get my child to, you know, get off his tablet sometimes or... How am I supposed to tell
him? How am I supposed to stop terrorism?
Exactly. What do you want me to do? You know, you want me to go around... I don't even go to the mosque, okay? I'm not saying it's not a place that you don't... That's not a good place, but it's just not part of my life at the present.
Mm. Yeah. In the same way, there are millions of Christians in this country who don't go to church.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is where having three Muslim boys, I think they're going to face a different challenge to... boys of other faiths, because I think constantly in society at one point someone is going to say you have to answer for those people. And I say to them, if someone says that to you, it's not an if, it's a when. That's great, because it's dialogue. And we need dialogue. You know, when you've got someone and they see on the news someone's done a terror attack in the name of religion in Islam, and they say, oh god, those Muslims are such fanatics, I want them to think, no, actually, you know what, Zaid's mom, she's a Muslim, and she made the best curry. She is not a fanatic.
She's not making suicide vests. She's making delicious rice.
Exactly.
I mean, my ass exploded, but I mean...
That's a different kind of explosion, you know. So, and that's what I want for my children.
And do you think, I mean, having a new mayor... Has that, have you seen much of a change in London?
I don't think there's been much change in London, but I was in Paris once, and we were, it was actually my 40th, and we were in the taxi, and he goes, you come from a wonderful country. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, of course, but why? And he said, because we can never elect someone like that.
Really?
Yeah, and he just shows, it shows your tolerance and faith as Londoners. And I've never felt so proud to be British at that moment.
Oh, stop, I'm going to cry!
For my sons, you know, they're loving school. I think, I'll give you an example. My six-year-old, he was yawning when it was Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. I know his kids doing his fidgeting, and, you know, he'd had a long day. And I got a call from the headmaster, and he said, you know, this is a bit disrespectful. And I thought, yeah, but he's six and he was tired, but... I kind of question whether he wasn't a Muslim kid, would that phone call have happened?
Really, yeah.
So, you know, and I just, this whole thing where we have to define people by their faiths, rather than he's just a child, he was tired.
And the fact that that question even pops into your mind, you have to consider that and worry about that and
I think it's a different challenge, you know. And I think as mothers of Muslim boys, we have to worry about pornography and drugs and alcohol, but we really have to worry about, are they being groomed in a way that other sections of society aren't. And that's a real threat for us and a real worry for us, especially with boys.
Well, thank you. And thank you for talking about that with us, because, you know, and I did want to say, actually, that we always do a running order for our guests. And Helen, you know, took quite a lot of care over this one, because, you know, we wanted to kind of get it right. So thank you, Afroza, not pointing out that she started one of the sentences with, as a Muslim... which I noticed when I read it today. What have you done, Helen Thorne? What have you done?
So, listener, you have no idea how embarrassed I am. So last night I read Afroza's blog. I was like, talking about being a Muslim, I'm going to be really sensitive.
Yeah, really right on.
You know, don't fuck it up. Don't be offensive. All right, really sensitive.
You've offended me like three times already.
I'm outraged.
I typed out all the questions and I'm like, oh, just spell check it. So I did, then sent it off, And then Ellie pointed out that I called you a Muslim. So good.
So
good.
As a Muslim, what temperature do you like to be washed at, Afrosa?
Why do you lump us all together? What I don't
Should we be putting you in a separate cycle?
Exactly, we're very different.
Where are you originally from? John Lewis?
At least you didn't say Primark.
Never leave home without one. Never it's an essential.
Yeah. Every Muslim needs a Muslim. Everyone knows that.
Exactly.
That's a t-shirt. That is a t-shirt.
I'm going to trademark that.
You can have that. Okay. You're welcome.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tonight we are joined by Alice Evans.
To kick us off, Alice, tell us about your family.
I have two girls, Matilda and Io, and I have a partner, Matt.
She is actually married. She doesn't like saying this, listener.
Why don't you like saying you're married?
Because...
Oh my God, you look like you're going to be sick. Just, it's all right, we're all friends. Circle of trust. There's only tens of thousands of people listening in.
Because I don't... I just didn't want to get married.
Why not?
Because I think it's a declaration of ownership.
Yeah!
Yes! What, you didn't want to just get thin and wear a really expensive dress and make other people come a long way away to have a party that they don't really want to come to?
No!
What, at a cost of thousands of pounds? So why did you get married then if you didn't want to do it?
We got married because of my history of breast cancer.
Oh!
So, okay. Well,
romantic. Die,
yes.
Marry me!
Yes.
No! It was him who wanted to get married.
Oh, does he want your dollars?
It was because all my family have died of breast cancer or ovarian cancer, and I have a family history, so he thought I would die, and then he thought he was scared of what would happen to the children, so I agreed to marry him.
Aww.
Yeah, there were a few restrictions.
Like what? Like what?
Like, he can never call me his wife.
Oh, wow! That's awesome. I love it. So how have you found it? Has marriage been as dreadful as you'd hoped?
It's been.
Do you wake up miserable every day?
I do. No, do you know what? It's made absolutely no difference to me, but it has been a fantastic thing for my partner in terms of security.
Did your kids care? Were they bothered?
They were at the wedding.
Did they wear like an Elsa dress and an Anna dress?
No.
No. Oh, that's sorry. I'm talking to the wrong person here.
You're talking to clearly an uptight feminist.
Oh, God. That's right. It's all denim dungarees at your house and misery.
Bloody is. <yes.
laughs> There's not a shoe in that house that isn't flat, I tell you. Dear God. Most people wait till after their wedding to hate marriage. I like that you got it out the way before. That's nice.
I do just want to say that when I go to other people's weddings, I'm very excited for them and I will always cry.
Really?
I will always cry with excitement.
But inwardly you're thinking, you're just a chattel. You're proving you're just a chattel.
No.
Shall we move on to the serious business, Helen?
Yes, let's talk breast cancer.
You haven't had breast cancer, but you have had a mastectomy.
Yes.
Unusual.
So yes. how did you get there? How what's the journey?
Well,
I mean, it sounds hilarious. Let's tell an amusing anecdote about having your boobs chopped off.
Oh, you have to laugh, otherwise you'd cry. So my mother died of breast cancer when I was 9. My aunt died when I was 5, and my granny died when I was 7. So they always said to me that I was going to get cancer. They have a way of testing the genes, which is to see whether you have these two mutated genes. 5 years ago, they were able to test me because all my family are dead. And I had it. So I have a BRCA1 gene.
That must have been a good day, finding that out.
It was the best day, actually. Not because Matt left our new Sonos player on the train when we'd found out that I got it.
Oh, God. Oh, that's Jesus. Almost worse.
Almost. Honestly.
So when you...
I hate men.
I know, those bastards.
Awful men.
When you think you've got a family history of it, the guidance says that if you don't get tested, then all they can do is they will start scanning you, but they won't offer you any preventative treatment. Whereas if you get the gene testing and then you get positive, then you kick open a whole load of treatment. Well, they won't take your ovaries out till you're 40.
Right.
But they took my ovaries out at 35.
Right.
So you can have your breasts off from 18 onwards, but...
I mean, it's great having your breasts in your 20s. I mean, the things they did, the things my tits did in their 20s, they had a great time.
I had a brilliant party trick.
Tell us, Alice.
My tits were so big that I used to be able to lick my nipples.
Ah, that was Helen's party
trick. That was my party trick, Alice. I was doing it in the Southern Hemisphere and you were doing it in the Northern Hemisphere. I didn't know this about you.
Didn't you do it at an audition for the Cambridge Footlights once?
Yes, I offered it, but they politely declined.
I just don't understand why. I mean, that's how John Cleese got in, surely. So you had all this testing. So
they tested me. At that point, there were three options. One, I could do nothing but surveillance. So you just have to take the risk that you'd get ovarian cancer. Or you could go into research trials and they could look at you as a research trial person. Or you have the surgeries. One and two didn't seem particularly appealing to me because...
I mean, none of them are, you know...
Lab rats!
It's not like the end of 3, 2, 1, a speedboat or, you know, a trip to Tenerife. It's not a great selection of options,
I
think.
I mean, maybe. I think for some people it absolutely floors them and it absolutely destroys them, this stuff. But for me it was a wonderful opportunity because I could get rid of really, really... really big heavy tits that killed my back, which you probably know. it becomes a real question of whether or not how you define your femininity and how you define who you are. And for me, how I defined who I am has never been about how I look. So having my tits cut off was not a thing that was going to mean that I was going to lose who I was. I think for other people it's a much, much bigger issue because their tits are who they are. My legs are who I am.
You've got great legs. Don't cut those off, Alice. That would be a mistake.
My liver is who I am. Served me very well over a period of years.
Yeah, so I got to decide and I got to say what size I wanted. And then they basically had to cut all my skin off, take everything out from inside, and then fold my breast skin back over itself because it was so big.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And, like a pasty.
Yeah. And then they put...
Calzone. Too much. Do stop
I
me.
I love food references
much.
On this podcast. That's...
There's mozzarella in one side and tomato in the other.
Thank you very much.
They are odd sizes because I've been a complication. Yeah, can you not see?
That one's bigger.
That one's much bigger.
Yeah.
Now you're poking it.
If you feel it.
Look, can I? Do
yes,
you mind?
They're not real.
They look, feel real.
Oh, they love. God, they're nice. I know. I can't. If I start, I won't stop.
But they can't.
Not since university.
Exactly.
It's all right. I can't feel it.
You can't feel it? No. So you've got no feeling in them?
No.
So it's not...
So not even in the skin?
No.
So there's no nerves?
No.
Is it like just holding your arm?
No, because that's got nerves in it, mate.
You can feel it.
Oh!
Fucking hell. Well, do you know, I've never felt another woman's boobs on the podcast before. Or indeed... Ever.
Really?
But I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, there we go. I liked it too. And
clearly it meant nothing to Alice. She didn't feel a thing.
This is like that. Sorry. This is like Westworld.
I tell you what, this is in your face, Woman's Hour. Don't get Jane Garvey feeding someone's tits, do you?
Hi, Jane. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, love you.
Love you, Jane.
Yeah. Don't get Jenny Murray giving Annie Lennox a good squeeze. Something like that. No.
I like... There's our Sony Award done then, Ellie.
It's done, mate. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
You are, and I'm Helen Thorne.
Yes, you are, and you are...
I'm Dara Bree.
This is our 100th episode, isn't it, Helen?
Oh my God, we've made a century.
What's the scummiest moment in your parenting history, do you think?
The best ever parenting story that I have was at the NCT classes. The midwife was reading a list of physical changes that occur to a woman's body over the pregnancy, and she's just doing this list, and we're all quietly watching this. And then at one stage, she goes, "Some of you," she says, in her midwifey voice, goes, "may have experienced constipation." And in the corner of the room, one man raised his hand. And everyone was like, "What the fuck?" And we all turned and looked, and he genuinely went, "We've had that." And her face, her genuine look of her partner going, "We, the fuck are you doing? We did not have that. We, yeah." And then it went on, and she went through the list, and she got as far as, "Some of you may have experienced sore nipples," and his hand went up again.
Stop.
And the whole room was going, "Don't look at that. That is the funniest thing I have ever..." If that man's tits hurt because his wife is pregnant, I will die. If I look at that man, and he's this fabulously gormless face, and we're all looking at this going, "God, please do more, because this game is going to end very soon, because we're going to go for lunch, and after lunch he's going to come back with a vastly different attitude towards interaction that is beaten into with a fork." We all went for lunch together, except that couple went off to a different cafe. Where she fucking went, "Nobody else. Nobody else was offering up information about arse and tits. What did you do? We don't know these people."
Well, that is a wonderful story to end on, I think. And yes, we would like to thank every single person who's sent in a Scummy Mummy confession.
Thank you very much. And everyone who's written in from around the world. We've had emails from Bermuda, Jamaica.
Anyway, I want to take it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And nowhere else. Just those two. Massive fan base in Bermuda. Weird. We don't understand it. No, we have had such an amazing adventure, and I didn't think it would go on this long, did you?
No, it was just a bit of laugh in the summer. And
yeah.
It's gone years. Hang
on, sorry, there is no better summation of parenting than what you just said. It's been an amazing adventure, but I didn't think it would go on this long.
That's right. Yeah. We are a metaphor for our own lives.
Because it is this thing. And well done on making us all realize that everyone has a fucking ridiculous time. This is a ridiculous thing to be doing. But also the sheer scale of it. You're going to be doing this for the next 25 years minimum. Yeah. And so just get used to it. So you've got a lot more podcasts to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of material.
Well, I hope so, because it's been a right laugh, hasn't it?
It is. Thank you very much, Ellie Gibson.
Thank you very much, Helen Thorne. Okay, well, that was volume 2 of The Greatest Hits. Hope you enjoyed it. Do follow us on the Instagram at Scummy Mummies. Go to scummymummies.com, where you can find dates and tickets for our tour, all that sort of stuff. And don't forget to buy our book, Scummy Mummies, still in print at the time of recording. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.